This morning's message is entitled, Waiting for Patience. Kind of sounds a little bit like an oxymoron. Usually we are waiting when we're patient. But usually, when you know that you're about to go into a situation where you're going to have to be patient, there is some way that you gear yourself up for that. Maybe you know that you're about to go and get on a flight to go fly somewhere. Usually when you do that, you go to an airport and you sit in a room waiting for your flight to be called. You know that you're going to have to wait ahead of time. You know that you're going to have to be patient ahead of time. So maybe what you will do then is you will prepare yourself for that time of waiting. You'll take a magazine with you. You'll take a book with you. You'll take a tablet or an iPad or your smartphone with you. You will do something, bring something to prepare yourself to be patient during that time. Maybe you know you're going into the hospital for a period of time. And you know that you're going to be laying in a hospital bed staring at the wall or staring at a television screen. Again, you might prepare yourself for the wait by taking some extra clothes with you, by taking some reading material with you, by taking some movies with you or something like that to watch while you were there. This morning I want to encourage you from God's Word and show us how we need to be waiting for patience. How many of you like the game of Scrabble? Okay, a few of you. A few of you like the game of Scrabble. One of the hardest parts for me in Scrabble is not spelling. I could spell just fine. It's waiting for all the little pieces of wood with the letters on it. If you've never played Scrabble, by the way, this is a Scrabble game piece up here. The P is a letter, the P is a little piece of wood, the A is a piece of wood, the T, so forth, and you get this little stand to set them on. And what you do in the game is you try to spell words with the seven different pieces that you have. Eight pieces that you have. And the more points you get by putting down letters with the higher points marked on them. So this person, in this game, had gotten all eight little pieces of wood to spell one long word. So that's going to be a lot of points. Usually when I play, it's like cat, dog, spot, pot, you know, little three-letter words, you know, because you can't go two-letter words. You have to go three. But this person did real good. They got eight letters. And the way that you do that is by playing a few little pieces of letters at a time, and then you draw out of a bag. So you always have eight little tiles on your little stand. And this person has been so patient and has endured so long that finally all eight of their tiles spell one word. That's pretty good. Unless you get really lucky on like the first or second draw. But that's pretty good, because usually, like if I were doing this one, it would be like tie, T-I-E, you know, or nice, you know. I would have thrown them away a long time ago. But here this person was patient in getting all eight tiles to be the same word. It's interesting how we react to patience. There's a story about a man, a truck driver. He was sitting down in an all-night restaurant eating dinner, and the waitress had just served him his meal when three guys on motorcycles drove up. And they come inside in their leather and their chaps, and they come swaggering inside all mean and tough, and they walk up into the diner, and one man reaches over and grabs the truck driver's hamburger and takes a big bite. The second guy walks over and takes a fistful of French fries and shoves them in his mouth. Third guy walks over and takes the guy's Coke and sips it down right in front of this truck driver. And that was his food. The truck driver responded with great patience. He calmly got up from the table, picked up his check, walked to the front of the restaurant, put his money down on the cash register, and headed out the door. And the waitress watched as the big truck driver drove off down the road, down and out into the night. When she returned, one of the bikers said to her, "Well, he wasn't much of a man, was he?" To which she replied, "He's not much of a truck driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles out in the parking lot." We come to the topic this morning that is near and dear to my heart, patience. I confess to you this morning that this topic is really actually something that I oftentimes struggle with. It's not easy for me to be patient. God wired me uniquely in the aspect with the desire to move and to act, not to sit and to wait. I like to be on the move. I like to be accomplishing things. Yet, in an effort to be more like Christ and to be holy, even as my God is holy, you and I are commanded by the Word of God to practice patience and long-suffering in this world of constant movement and activity. This morning, I'm going to invite you to join me back in the same passage that Mark read for us just a little bit ago, Psalm chapter 130. Psalm chapter 130. Again, we are reminded the Psalms are songs that were sung. This one happens to be a song of ascents. A-S-C-E-N-T-S, ascents. And it's identifying who God is and what God can do with us and for us when we are patient and wait upon Him. The verse begins in verse 1, "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice." Have you ever been in a situation, in a time in your life, where you feel like you have been in the depths? Where life is hard. Where things are not easy. Where there are so many decisions to be made, so many things to think through, so many actions to take place, that you are at a point where you just feel like you are in the depths. You can't get any lower. You can't get any worse than what it is. And the author of this psalm writes, "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord." Notice there in your Bible, most likely, that the word Lord there is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Elohim, that's God the Father, God the Omnipotent, God the Omniscient. Out of all the depths, the lowest place of my life, God, I cry out to you, Lord, hear my voice. Because I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to go. I don't know what else to say. Hear me, help me. Let your ears be attentive, he goes on to say. To the voice of my supplications, to the voice of my prayers, my beggings, God, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, or you will keep track of my sins, O Lord, who could stand? God, if you held all these things against me, how would I be able to stand against you? How could I stand here and ask for your help if you would stand there before me and count off all these things that I have done against you? But verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with you. There is hope with you. There is deliverance and salvation with you, that you may be feared. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, we have a God that we are called to fear. Not be scared of, but to revere, to respect, to realize that He is in complete control of all things, and He and only He has the ability to solve any and all of our problems. Verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, this is specifically written for Israel, but we can take it into context for ourselves this morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. All their sins. Let's pray. Father, give us understanding this morning as we open your word and apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to wait for patience. We know that there are times in our lives, Father, that you are calling us to be patient and to wait upon you. Father, help us to prepare ourselves for those times. Help us to understand your word this morning and apply it to our lives so that you might be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Patience defined by the Webster's Dictionary. I love the Webster's Dictionary because oftentimes the definitions given by the Webster's Dictionary are so vague that you have to go find another dictionary to figure out what it's saying. Get this. The definition of patience in the Webster's New World Dictionary is the state, quality, or fact of being patient. Patience's definition is being patient. That doesn't really work very well for me. So I had to dig a little bit farther. The word patient in the Greek in Galatians chapter 2, which is what we'll look at, or in chapter 5, is what we'll look at here in a few minutes. The word patient means to have a cheerful endurance. To be constantly pressing on, to endure, to forbear the situation, not out of anger, not out of discouragement or depression, but out of cheerfulness. God, I'm so glad you brought these financial bills into my life. I'm so thrilled that I'm going to have to pay these things. We just found out Friday night that we've got a problem with our tire on our van. God, I'm so excited that I get to go to the shop tomorrow and fix this tire and spend money on that. I'm so thrilled. I don't know how much it's going to cost. I don't know what they're going to have to do to it, but I'm so excited. We don't usually walk around in life that way, do we? But we are called to be cheerfully enduring, constantly being happy as we go about life and being patient. Another word for patient is the word long-suffering. In 1512, when the Bible was translated into English by one of the early translators, he had to come up with the word long-suffering. The word long-suffering didn't exist in the English. So he did his best to take the Greek and turn it into English, and he came up with the word long-suffering. Also, it means to be forbearing, to be pressing on, to not give up, to face the situation straight on. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, you'll recall those two passages, those two verses, are the verses that talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And we know what the fruit of the Spirit, patience is one of them. And these other fruits are love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And these things are not separated. You can't take each characteristic and say, okay, I'm going to claim this one but throw this one away. They are a package. They're like fruit on a tree, if you will. They grow on you. They are increased on you. But they also are like a fruit basket. Have you ever gotten a fruit basket at Christmas time? Usually it's not just a basket of apples. It's usually not just a basket of oranges or bananas. It has a variety of fruit in it. The fruit of the Spirit is like a fruit basket. It's a basket with all these different types of fruit in it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control and gentleness. And they're all inside this basket, so they are all given to you by the Holy Spirit. As a Christian walking in the light of Christ and God's Word and in His will for your life, you ought to be filled with these nine characteristics. Not just one or two, but all of them. They should all be growing on you. The question then comes, with these nine characteristics of patience and love, self-control, goodness, faithfulness, joy, peace, and faithfulness. Can unsaved people show those? Absolutely they can. Can an unsaved person show love? Yeah, they can. Can an unsaved person have joy? Yes, they can. Can an unsaved person have peace? Absolutely. Can an unsaved person exemplify kindness and goodness? Yes. Can an unsaved person be faithful? Yes. Can an unsaved person be gentle and show self-control? Absolutely. Then, Pastor, what's the difference? Why are these nine fruits of the Spirit meant for us if the rest of the world can exemplify them and show them as well? The difference, folks, is that only God can truly instill in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The world around us can only pick and choose a couple. And when they have joy, how long does that joy last? When they have love, how long does the love of an unsaved person last? They will love for as long as they get something out of it. But as soon as that thing that they love loses value, and it loses that glamour, that glistening desire, out the door it goes and something new comes in. How many marriages do you know of unsaved people work? They go into these marriages looking for something that they can get out of it, and when sooner or later, when things don't go their way, they say, this is baloney, and split. I always like to listen to people at work talk about how much they love their job. Because the moment they could, they'd get out of there. You know? That's not real love. You have to have all nine of these fruits if you are a Christian this morning. They all grow on the same tree. They all come in the same basket. You cannot select each of these characteristics, which ones you want and which ones you can't. You cannot have peace without joy. You cannot have joy without love. You cannot have love without gentleness and self-control and so forth. They all come together. And in our world today, patience is very rare. There's really two reasons as to why it's rare in our world today. First of all, it's because it goes against our human nature. We are give me, have to have it right now type of people. Have you ever noticed that from the moment you're born, you have the give me's? How many babies do you know lie awake at night in their crib and think, mom and dad are probably really tired and sleeping. I'll just wait till morning to eat. Probably not so much. What do they do right away when they wake up and they're hungry? They start screaming. I want food. They're not saying that, but that's what they're saying, right? I want food, or I need my diaper changed, or I want to be picked up, I want my pacifier, I want my blanket, whatever it may be. From the moment that a child is born, they have the give me's. They want those things right then and there. You cannot take that away from a child. Automatically it comes. So it's automatic. It goes against our human nature to wait. But secondly this morning, it's contrary to our culture, to the environment with which we have grown up and live in. Our culture is wound so tight that we want things our way. Real quick, can anyone tell me the slogan for Burger King? I want it my way. Have it your way. Right? You get what you want. You go to Burger King and you pick up the cup, it says, with ice or without ice, you know? Do you want Coke? Do you want Sprite? Do you want Diet Coke? Do you want Dr. Pepper? Do you want icy? What do you want, you know? You get the burger. The wrapper says, do you want pickles? Do you want onions? Do you want ketchup? Do you want lettuce? A little mustard? And so forth. It's all about how you want things in this world today. And if you don't get things the way you want, what oftentimes happens? Everything falls apart. The lady that called 911 a number of years ago complaining that McDonald's put pickles on her sandwich. You know? The world falls apart when we don't get things our way. Reminds me of the man whose car had stalled in heavy traffic just as the light turned green. Don't you love those situations? You are ready to floor it through that intersection, and the car in front of you dies. It just happened to me yesterday. I'm not kidding. The man frantically tried to get his car started, and he was greeted by a chorus of honking horns from behind him, as well as angry faces. He finally got out of his car, walked back to the driver behind him, and said, I'm sorry, but I don't seem to be able to get my car started. If you'll go up there and give it a try, I'll stay here and honk the horn for you. It's hard for us to sit still, isn't it? It's hard for us to wait for situations to clear through. John Piper, the pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, says it this way, and I think it's a great quote. Impatience is a form of unbelief. Impatience is a form of unbelief. It's what we begin to feel when we start to doubt the wisdom of God's timing or the goodness of His guidance. When we have waited for a period of time or are expected to wait, and we don't wait patiently, it's because we don't believe that God's at work. We don't believe that God's doing anything. Here we are, we're sitting behind the wheel, but it feels as if we're not going anywhere. Has anyone ever felt that way? Life should be moving forward. Things should be happening. Things should be falling into place. But absolutely nothing's happening. What do we do then? Is God here? Does God care? Where's God at? And we begin to doubt His ability to take care of us, and we begin to think of ways in ourselves that we can solve the problems. As a result, then, to what seems like God's willingness to move, we become upset, angry, and sometimes blow up to the point that shrapnel flies everywhere, leaving a path of destruction in our lives and in our relationships. A quick note of warning this morning as we continue on. The battle for patience can take place anywhere. Whether in your line at a grocery store, while stuck in traffic, while faced with health problems, dealing with job stress, with dealing with family frictions, or any other arena that you can imagine. This morning when it comes to patience, there are two decisions that we have to make. The first decision that we have to make this morning is we need to choose to wait for God where we are and not give up. To say, God, You're in control. Some of you are past that point. Some of you have gone beyond that point to say, I'm tired of waiting for God. I'm going to do this on my own. And you've gone off in different avenues to try and figure out how to do that. The second decision we get to make this morning is we have to determine to go at His pace, not our pace. Not speed up the process by thinking that we have the answers, but by trusting in God. Rather than being reckless or impulsive by taking things into our own hands, God's patience helps us to trust God's timing. Notice that I gave you two decisions this morning, two choices. I did not give you the choice as to not be patient. I gave you two choices. One, trust God and in His timing, not give up. And number two, go by His pace, not our pace. I didn't say, third, give up. Reason being is, for the Christian, that's not an option. Nowhere in God's word does it give us that command, but we can do that. Nowhere in God's word does it say, or you can take plan C and give up all of it, get all of it out. For the life of the Christian, it's a life of dedication to Christ. You either go with Him or you go against Him. And that going against Him is not a choice when it comes to the walk of the Christian. You don't get that option. You don't get that choice, that suggestion, that advice. You have to do it. In short, the key to having patience is to hold on to God and slow down. My daughter Bethany, when she and I would be driving around town when she was a little younger, we'd stop at intersections on the road, and she would ask me what the lights were, the stoplights. And I explained to her the red light meant stop, and the green light meant go. But the yellow light meant, what's the yellow light mean? Slow down. And I said it in such a way that I said, slow down. And I'd ask Bethany, what's the red light mean? No, what's the red light mean? What's the green light mean? And what's the yellow light mean? Slow down. And we had this thing down. Well, she didn't understand that I had to look at the light in front of me. If the light over here was green, she'd say, Dad, the light's green, go. Doesn't work that way. Or if the light went green and there was a car in front of me, she'd be like, Dad, the light's green, go. She didn't understand. I had to wait for the car in front of me to go. And I think we're there now. But she understood it meant to slow down. As Christians in the walk that we walk, oftentimes we don't like to slow down. It's interesting. I've got missionary friends that are over in Africa, and they had come back to the States every 7 years or whatever for furlough, and they have kids now. And they come back, and they sit down and eat breakfast. And one of my friends was telling me that his daughter said to him, Dad, when we're back at Grandma and Grandpa's, why do we eat breakfast so fast? Because here in America, we do everything fast. We drive fast, we eat fast, we go places fast, we shop fast. We can't do anything slow. We take very little time to slow down. Waiting for the Lord in the Old Testament was a way of describing the opposite of impatience. We are told to slow down. The Old Testament way of waiting for the Lord was a contrast to giving up. It was a contrast to speeding life through. It was a sense of slowing down and trusting in God and waiting upon Him. When we say that we wait upon the Lord, we are saying that we will stay strong in the Lord and trust in Him. We will wait for Him to move us. Much like in the game of chess, oftentimes you sit there and have to wait for your opponent to move their chess pieces so you can go. And once your turn comes, then you have to sit there and figure out where you want your pieces to go, and the other person's waiting for you. You can't win a game of chess playing by yourself. It doesn't work that way, you know? And we seem to think that we can get through life on our own, and we just absolutely can't. We have to wait for God to help us. And in the midst of waiting, here in Psalm chapter 130, in verse 5 and 6, we see that not only are we told to wait for the Lord and our soul waits, but what do we have hope in? The Word of God. We place our faith and our hope in the Word of God. When we put our hope in the Word of God, we will see the fruit of patience ripen our lives. It will take things over. When you feel like giving up, or when you feel like wanting to take things in your own hands, it is then that you need to reach out and grab the Scriptures. It is then that you need to reach out and grab the promises that are held within. Read it, memorize it, meditate on it, make it yours, and apply it to your lives. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. I encourage you to jot this little quote down, this little verse address down. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We have hope in life because of what the Scriptures tell us. We can be patient in life because we know the hope that we have in Christ because of what the Scriptures tell us. Another version of the Bible says it this way. These things were written in the Scriptures so long ago to teach us patience and to encourage us. That's why God's Word is here for us this morning, folks. God's Word is not a book of just commands, but it's a book of promises, a book of encouragement, a book of hope. And what we learn from God's Word and apply to our lives, we find that it gives us purpose. It gives us the ability to live each and every day in the power of God rather than upon our own power and upon our own strength. Have you ever been with someone in a hospital where they have absolutely no strength left? It's like you almost wonder how they have the ability to even breathe. The idea here is that when we have taken our last physical breath ourselves, that if we place our hope and faith in Christ, He can come beside us and lift us up. Isaiah chapter 30 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That only happens if you put your hope in the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. Those that put their hope in the Lord, those who are patient in the Lord. We're told to wait upon God in Psalm chapter 130, verse 6, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. I kind of feel like a watchman now. I work nights. I go to work at 10 o'clock at night, and I work till 7 o'clock in the morning. I always hate it when people come in shopping about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and they're in the snack aisle. Because that's where I'd be, too, if I was at Walmart at 10 o'clock at night. I'd be in the snack aisle. The salty chips, the sugary honey-roasted peanuts, the M&Ms, all that stuff, that's where I'd be late-night snack time, you know. And that's where I'd be. And I'm talking with some of these different people, just sharing, you know, talking, you know, saying, hi, how are you? And I say, you know, and they ask, well, how was your day? Oh, my day's just starting. How was your day? I'm going home to bed. Grr, you know, I don't like that. They're going home to go to night, go to sleep. And here I'm working till 7 in the morning. You know, 2 o'clock, I go outside for lunch break, and it's dark, and the stars are up. Man, I cannot wait for morning so I can go home and go to bed. I can't wait for that sun to hit that horizon, and I know it's time to go home then. I'm actually now getting off work before the sun comes up. That's kind of depressing. Go to work when it's dark, come home when it's dark, you know? And but the watchmen here in biblical times, they valiantly guarded the city. They watched from the city gates and the city walls, looking off into the horizon, off into the far distance, to see if there were any enemy troops coming to attack the city. And if they were coming, then they sounded the alarm. Get ready, here comes the enemy. You remember the old shows, 10 o'clock and all's well, you know. You had the watchmen out, walking patrol of the cities, making sure everything was okay. And the watchman, he was waiting for morning. He was eager for morning to come, because then he could go home. He was off work. He could go home, put his feet up. He could relax. He could sleep. He could do whatever he wanted because his job was over. More than the watchman waits for the morning, we are told to wait and watch for God, to be patient and wait upon him. More than those who watch for the morning, wait upon the Lord. Folks, it's difficult for us oftentimes to wait upon the Lord. But may I advise you by these words. It may be difficult to wait for the Lord, but it's worse to wish that you had. It is difficult to wait for the Lord, but it's much worse to wish that you had. Because when you wait for the Lord, you are patiently waiting for him to move. But oftentimes when we act on our own behalf, later we look back and say, man, I wish I would have waited. I'm sure God had something so much better. God had better plans than what I had come off with. We're going to make this a two-parter. We'll finish this off next week. I'm going to next week give you some points as to how you can be patient when it comes to the Lord. You might read through Isaiah chapter 30 for that next week, as we will be in that passage of Isaiah 30 next week. I want to end with a little joke real fast. I like jokes. I think you know that. Quite the joker as it is. But there was an African woman who had become increasingly impatient with her husband. And all the wives say, amen. Married, that wasn't literal. Married life was a strain because she kept blowing up at her spouse. All the husbands say, amen. No, she went to the doctor and asked him for some help. Now, this is probably like a witch doctor of some sort. She goes to the doctor and asks him for some help, and he told her that she must first gather the basic ingredients for such a powerful medicine. The first thing he needed was 3 hairs from the mane of a live lion. The lady left wondering how in the world she was going to get close enough to a lion to get 3 hairs. She decided to take her largest goat and tie it to a tree, hoping to tempt the lion. Sure enough, the lion came and took the goat. The next day, she tied another goat to the tree, and the process went on for several weeks until she had sacrificed her entire flock as bait. Each day, she managed to get just a little closer to the lion, and on the final day, managed to talk to him. "I'm sorry to trouble you," she said, "but I wonder if I might be able to have 3 hairs from your mane." The lion smiled and said, "Of course, take what you wish. After all, I've enjoyed your goats." The next day, the lady triumphantly took the ingredients to the doctor. The doctor turned to her and said, "You must have been extremely patient to get those hairs from the mane of the live lion. Now go home and put the same amount of practice into your marriage." She had wasted all that time trying to find a solution around the problem, and yet the solution was right in front of her the entire time. Patience is something that we grow into. It's not something we could snap our fingers and have happen overnight. I would like to lose more weight. I've already lost quite a bit working at Walmart overnight and so forth, but I'd like to lose some more. How many of those commercials do you watch late at night that say, lose 10 pounds in 5 days, you know? You know what happens after those 5 days are over? You gain 20 back, you know? It's back on you, you know? There's no such thing as a snap your finger and immediately have it happen sort of thing. And it's the same with patience. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process that we must go through, and we must become more like Christ as we do it. Let's pray. Father, give us understanding as we take your word this evening or this morning and apply it to our lives. Thank you for the psalmist here in Psalm 130, his encouragement to us to wait upon you. Because truly, Father, it's an important thing that we have to wait upon you, to trust in you, to realize that you are the one that can move on our behalf. Only you can open the doors and windows of our life, Father, so that we may enter through. Father, we oftentimes try to open locked doors or locked windows and we can't get through. We try to take sledgehammers and break doors down so we can enter into areas that you have blocked off from us, Father, because it's not your will for us. But Father, teach us to wait upon you so that we might trust in you and have our hope in you, knowing that as you lead and guide and direct us, we can have our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.